Yep.
Thank you. I would like to call to order the May 2nd, 2017, Committee of the Whole meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order, please. Lisa, please note the time and call the roll.
Member Brooks? Member Lerman?
Present.
Member Underdonk?
Here.
Member Platnick?
Yes.
Chair Gaines?
Yes.
All right.
We're going to roll right into our fitness area operation and fee discussion.
Okay, so I sent in the committee packet the business plan for the fitness area. So hopefully you had a chance to read it if you have any questions. But what we really want to focus tonight is to get input on fees. Because once we set the fees, it's pretty much what we're going to go forward. So we want to see if the board is in line with what we're thinking for fees and have some discussion on that and some discussion of hours of operation if you have any other questions besides that. So on page 14 of your packet, we listed the recommendations that we thought for our fees. You guys need copies? Do we have...
Paul, did you bring them?
Oh, there we go. Paul's on it.
So you have them calculated as yearly, not monthly?
Okay, we have two ways. So there's different ways of methodology going into this pricing fees for the fitness area. There's one which is a yearly. Do you want to do this? Okay, Mike, go ahead. He's like, hey, he's stealing my thunder. I can see it in his face.
You can have it if you want.
No, you go right. I'm going to throw it right to you.
But like Lisa was saying, we have a couple different thoughts on the goal, obviously, is to get a commitment out of the customers so that they stay with us for a year or longer. So the three options we offer is a yearly option, which is the cheapest and hopefully the most attractive to people. Then we offer a 6-month for those people that prefer to go outside and exercise outdoors in the summer months. But in order to encourage people to take the year over the 6-month option, we price that 6-month option higher, so it's only a small fee increase between 6 months and a year. And then we've also got a monthly option, which for those people that are hesitant to pay up front or can't afford to pay up front, it's just an installment billing where it actually charges them more for the whole year. We charge them a year commitment, but we collect it monthly instead of in advance.
So they would still have to make a commitment for 1 year to get that fee. We also have a non-resident fee, which would be 25% higher than resident fee.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
And then, okay, go ahead.
Yes, and then similar to the beat passes, we have some other options for seniors, for students, for families. So again, encouraging people to buy that third or fourth fitness pass by pricing it really, really affordably.
Excuse me for a moment. What is your age break for senior eligibility?
It would be like the same thing it is for the beach, which is 65.
Yes, that's correct.
65
and up. Really, it should be. Either you guys are so active, it really should be like. You know.
I'm thinking it should be 70, but
yeah.
I'll stick with 65.
Okay, just a quick question. So how does this compare with like a Winnetka community house?
If you go further down in our.
Another breakdown.
There's another breakdown on page. You know what page that is?
It's on page 17 of the packet.
Page 17 of the packet. If you went there, you could see the breakdown of what other ones are offering. What we did is we actually, Paul and Mike, I'm not going to take their credit, is that they compared it to other facilities around us, but also amenities around us. So
our membership will include open gym. That's something Paul and I have talked about, is adding some additional open gyms whenever possible, so that can become an additional perk to the fitness membership. It won't include at this point classes, but that's something we can look at in the future if there's demand for that. So the membership includes just access to the gym, open gyms and the fitness area, but not classes.
And then they would do punch pass for classes, for group exercise
Correct.
Classes that they would like to attend. Most of our group exercise are independent contractors, not employees, which makes hard to do,
right.
Include in the fee. So.
But we are hoping a lot of our group fitness instructors also do some personal training for us. So that way we're looking at a nice triangle of cross promotion, personal training with fitness memberships, with fitness classes.
So Northfield is a bit cheaper?
It is.
So my question is if that's our closest comparison in terms of facility size and what they offer, help justify why we're $60 more a year.
Yeah, I think it's I think just looking at the market, I think we can call for that a little bit more than a Northfield. And I think we just, you know, the equipment we have similar to theirs is all going to be top of the line. We'll have a stretching area that they don't have. And I don't know how they work their open gyms because they're connected to a school, so they share their gym with the school. So that's a selling point for us too, that we'll have open gyms. And I know the group fitness classes that we offer are probably more than what they offer.
And location, to be honest with you. We have a prime location, so we look at our neighbors and make sure it's competitive with them or lower than them, but it really, the location of Glencoe is more favorable. That's a good question.
Sure, that's a good point too.
Was any consideration given to the first year kind of giving a real financial break just to bring people in and get them, you know, to embrace this and leave what the places they're using now and come here instead?
Well, this would be our initial first year, and we would not do initiation fees.
That's what I was
so after
say.
After the first year, we would start doing initiation fees.
Really?
Most clubs, and I've been a member of four clubs in the last 24 months, checking things out, knowing this was going to come to be. We're joining clubs that are just getting off the ground, like the J that started up last New Year's. They waive the initiation for the first 3 months. A month before they open their doors, the first 2 months they are open. The J is not considered a glorious, fancy private facility like the Midtown Bannockburn or the one on Central Avenue. And the J is twice as expensive as this.
Well, just to compare us to apples to apples, mm-hmm. I would only compare us to the art district or public programs like
correct.
This.
Right.
They're taxpayer supported. So these park districts don't have initiation fees, or do they?
They do.
They do.
Initiation fees are very common, and what you do is the first year you waive those, and if they stay on the membership, so for example, if we get, you know, the first year's members, when we roll around to the second year, if we could, we can waive the initiation fee again to tie them in to commit them for another year.
Initiation fee is just your first time you join. If you keep your membership going, you never have an initiation fee.
Yes, but if they ever drop out and then come back, they could be assigned initiation fee.
So what's the initiation fee for, like,
one of these? Oh, it would depend. And we haven't really figured out what we would do for this one because we're not going to do it for the first, you know, probably 6 months.
See how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But for, for Northfield or Community House, what would be the initiation fee there?
Do you know what they're,
I would have to check.
Usually it's about $100, $150.
The other thing we're planning on doing too is working with Aaron to do like a construction starting sale and like a new membership sale. So we'll be offering promotions
So the earlier you lock in, the better your rate is going to be, basically. If you lock in July and you open in November, you're going to save as opposed to locking in October.
So what I would do, what I will do is try it out and then get my annual membership. I'm guessing that's what other people do.
That will not be an option.
But
so
you could go for one time.
Well, you could pay it daily. You could do daily. Right.
Yeah.
Everybody, I would think, would do it daily.
No, believe it or not, most people will sign up if they can get that $350.
They just look in the door and based on that, they say I'm doing it.
Yeah, you would believe it. The amount of people that do that, based on the equipment we have and the facility that we're setting up. And we're pricing the 1 year individual. So if you pay upfront, it's less than $1 a day. Good marketing for Aaron to say, hey, join us for the first year. It's less than $1 a day to join for if you pay up front for the whole year.
And we'll have a great salesman out there explaining the value of a yearly, and you know, when they come in for a daily, you know, Paul greet them with a smile and a nice information packet, and really work on selling them on the benefits of a year membership as opposed to just a daily trial.
I mean, one of the things we're known for is our personal touch here, so that from what Paul and I have done in our research is that personal connection really builds membership. So it's really going to be a lot of one-on-one sales.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Very good.
Just curious, so, you know, if you assume that we get, how many members you shoot for 200?
250.
And if you do kind of an all-in plan in terms of 250 times whatever our rate is versus the cost for this, you know, how positive is this going to be from a revenue perspective? How much excess cash?
So if you go up one page from that comparison chart, you can see the budget, which we budgeted for the 16-17 fiscal year, 17-18 fiscal year. So it's only a small snapshot. It's only, we'll only be open November, December, January, February. So 4 months of the fiscal year, we're hoping for a $14,000 net surplus from that department.
So this is going to be, not that the Park District is in the business of making money and not that we have a profit, but from a business perspective, this is possibly a money.
Our goal is to repay into the capital all the equipment costs over 10 years. So we would like to see, and that so that we can replenish the capital cost so it doesn't, the fitness center does not cost taxpayers money eventually.
And we replace the equipment.
And we've replaced we'll do a separate fund to replace equipment in the future. So that's our goal. So it's not to make money, but it's to make itself operating.
So the fee level is set at that level to be able to replenish it.
Oh, bring those.
Correct.
Fresh, and maybe it'll throw up some extra cash, maybe. Mm-hmm. But
just yes. Do you have any suggestions you think to input for staff? Jeff? All right.
So I'm a big fan of the Fitness Center, by the way. I think I was one of your early adopters.
You were.
So I'm 100% behind this. I think philosophically, the board needs to think about, do we want a moneymaker, or do we want to bring more people into this building and give back to the community? And we give back to the community. Yeah, we need to recover our costs. And it's a little bit, it's difficult to push through because you don't exactly know. But what I don't want to create is a fitness center filled with non-residents who see it as a cheap place to go and better than their own community. And I'll share these comments. So actually, that's what I'm a little bit afraid of. The first year's hard. Well, I mean, basically, take a shot at this, like any health club, if you will, or fitness, and then we'll adapt going forward. But philosophically, what is it we want to do here? And I think for the beach, for lots, we kind of set a philosophy. And I think the fitness center is somewhat of the same. Again, we have to spend a pile of money to buy all this great equipment, and it's going to last 10 or so years, we hope. We got to refurbish the room, the technology, yeah, there's spend. But at the end of the day, at least in my last board meeting, I'd like to say I'm not looking at this thing making a pile of money. It's breaking even, whatever that means. And then in terms of the daily rate or the monthly rate or the annual rate, giving something nice to the community to encourage them to use this building. Because, anyway, that's my philosophy. And then just some observations, and please, I've not like studied all the economics, and the model needs to work, whatever it is. And whatever we start with, we may end up with something different, right? We may have a run of memberships, and they're like, oh my God, how do we do this? Or we may have no members, and like, wait a minute, we price it too high, and deal with that. But just a couple of comments. So. Well, first of all, the daily fee is $10 or $15, so you put in a 50% premium,
just for dealing.
55-0, right, on resident, non-resident. Quite frankly, I'm okay with that, because I want this to be filled with residents. Unlike the beach, where we say it's a public space, this is really built for the residents of Glencoe. And you've got a small room. And the last thing we need is a lot of complaints by local residents that all the equipment is busy because it's filled with non-residents who have come in there. Okay. But I philosophically, I agree with the 10 or 15. I'd like you to think about having a student daily fee, whatever that might be, come up with that number. Maybe it's $7 or something. You've got college kids who just want to go 3 days. Right? I don't think a college kid should pay $10 a day. We want to encourage the college kids to go in there because they're our future customers of all our programs. And the other thing to think about is whether you want to have a senior daily fee, something to think about. And then when you get to the monthly, you've got for the college students, which I understand that, you've got winter break $60, and then for resident, non-resident at $75. At least for my daughter, she's only home for 2 weeks. She would never spend $60 for 2 weeks. At best, she would buy a monthly for $40 as an individual. So I think we need to probably rethink the students. Again, I think the students should be a small number, whatever that is, not a big number. It's just to get them in while they're home, to keep the families happy, to give something to the community while these kids are home. And whatever the number is, I don't know. But I would just rethink the college student or just the student monthly rate.
Sure. I agree.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Where are you working out now?
In my basement.
Okay, so you're not at a suburban facility on a regular basis. Okay.
I have, like, full equipment in our house.
Okay. Do I ask that for a reason? When you're done, I'll
So I can say
finish. Okay. Okay. I just want to get this out. So that's on the monthly for the, and then same thing for the summer for the kids. I think for the college kids, $120 versus one, that's a lot of money for a college student for the summer to come to an indoor facility. I think it needs to be some much smaller number, again, for that student rate, whatever you come up with. And then when you get to the annual membership, I think the non-resident rate at $440 is too low. You know, again, you put a 50% premium on the daily. We kind of did this in the pricing with Watts. If you wanted to put a 50% 50 premium on resident, non-resident, I would be okay with that because, quite frankly, our non-resident rate right now at 440
it's 20, is 25%.
Yeah, it's 20. And here's the thing is, it's lower than Winnetka residents. So Winnetka people, hey, let's go to Glencoe. It's cheaper.
True, you're right.
Right? And it's cheaper than Highland Park. And it's right on the fringes of the resident rate for Wilmette. Mm-hmm. Wilmette non-resident is 562. If we were in that neighborhood, I would be okay with that.
So move it up 50%. Okay.
Whatever it is. Again, I love my friends from Wilmette, but I want them working out at their gym and not work out at my gym. Right. I mean, it's a philosophy. You know, if you wanted to give the price break to the seniors, resident or non-resident, I guess that one I'm less concerned about because I don't think we'll be overrun with seniors. It's nice to the benefits. And kind of same thing, if you look, even, I mean, maybe this is your guide, is your annual membership options for students is $215, right? It works out to be about $17 a month or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that's your college rate or something.
Or 20, yeah.
Yeah, or 20 bucks, whatever it is, a month. And then finally, I would just give a little more thought to the family rates, because based on the pricing right now, if you add up, like you want a family of four, it's a pretty big number. And if I go over to, for example, the Park District of Highland Park, for a family of three, it's $432. Our family of two is $650.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I would just kind of rethink that. And almost like the beach, there's a set number, you know, for the base family and then incremental on top of it. But I think if a family of four wants to go to the gym, you know, it shouldn't be $1,200. Because I think we'll get a lot of heat from our residents. Wait a minute, $1,200 is not going to do this. But if it's some, I don't know what the number is, but some more reasonable number, I think the residents will certainly look at it I don't know, Andre, you've been a member, you've been going to Highland Park, what's your view?
So first of all, I want to say, I thought that was an incredible analysis.
And me too.
And
everything you said, I completely agree.
And one of the things I was going to say in my comments earlier tonight was that one of the things that has impressed me about Seth as a board member is his financial acumen and the counsel around things related to money. And I would have no hesitation working with Seth. And listening to his feedback. So I thought your analysis was pretty good. So I'm one of the chumps who goes to Park District Highland Park. And, you know, these numbers are, I don't know if it's just for the fitness area only, I'm not sure, but I pay like $1,300 a year for me and my wife to go to Park District Highland Park. That's $600, $700. It's expensive.
These are for the fitness center only, not the group fitness. Do you do
okay.
group fitness?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Yeah. All right. So, interesting, as a member of Park District Highland Park, they never told me that they had just a fitness center membership. They just said, this is what you got to get, right? And so, so that's pretty good. Fortunately, since I cut off my auto renew, that's not going to be a problem as the summer and fall roll around, because I'm going to be signing up for your program. But I thought your analysis was pretty good. I hope somebody was writing all this stuff down and not.
Yeah, I got it.
I can't repeat it. So.
Yeah. No, I have. You're also recorded, so.
Okay. Because you're right. I mean, I think this needs to be something for the residents of Glencoe. For too long, people like me have been going all over the place, but having to drive. So on top of the extra cost, it's about another 15 minutes there, another 15 minutes back. I spend more time passing Takeoff Center, going to the Park District or Highland Park, and coming back. Just the time between Takeoff Center and the Park District or Highland Park coming back. And I probably spend in this park ordinance. That's incredible. That is absolutely incredible. So to have a facility in this town, and so many people have stopped me and said, hey, when are you guys going to fit the center? And when I tell people, finally, right? And I think that I do agree that I think we need to kind of make this a focus, first of all, of residents, and have the non-residents priced accordingly in a competitive manner. But I think that, like I told people, I said, look, if you live in Glencoe and you go to one of these other places, put your memberships, take an auto renew and cancel it, and get ready to join this club. I think with Seth's input and recommendation, I think we've got a good strategy.
So what I'm hearing, just to recap, go ahead.
Yeah, we all have to think.
Okay. We all have to chime in here. Yeah, I too think that's a really good idea. The 150% as an overall guideline, we want to have the adjustments.
50% higher.
50%.
Yeah, okay, not 150%.
Yeah, okay. 50%.
Okay, got that.
As a guideline, our taxes are pretty high in this community, and this is one way we can demonstrate that folks can get something back for that. I really appreciate that input from my fellow commissioners on that. I'd like to support what the other folks have said. When we're done with this portion, I'd like to understand the next steps in implementation.
Sure.
Over the next few months for this.
Sure.
The other thing about people coming in from the outside means more cars, and I don't know how we're related to the parking issue and this opening and all that good stuff. We can talk about that after we settle the money. So just to say what others have said, I said thank you for your analysis.
I have a question. What is the minimum age for an individual to independently walk into the fitness area without a parent present?
14 or 11 if they're supervised.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll make them go through an orientation class.
Okay, no, that's acceptable. And Lisa, did you comment on the 50? What is your feeling on the additional charge for non-residents?
I completely agree with you.
So I think
every
you can.
Every single thing Seth said,
okay.
Including not exclusively, but including the comments about students coming home. For those of us who've lived in the community for a lot of years, and then our kids come home from college over these breaks, a lot of them want to go work out because they want to have time. We want them out to go work out, and it would feel good as a property taxpayer and a community to know that our young people, our students, can go use the fitness center and have it be something that's supported by our community. So I know that one of my sons specifically said, regarding where he was going previously, just south of us, gosh, it's like so expensive, it's like $15, I'm not gonna go back. I don't know if that's resonating correctly, but it felt like they were charging him $15, and that seemed like a lot for an hour for them, for what it's worth. So really, honestly, I don't wanna drain any more energy from the room, just ditto.
Okay, and I also concur with the more with the higher surcharge for non-residents,
okay,
as the other commissioners. I disagree with, and I'm speaking specifically for the college winter break, not for summer.
Okay.
Having extensive experience at a lot of different clubs, it's very disruptive to the regular attending adult members that have certain patterns. Typically, when college kids come home for their winter break, they don't take a job for the 1 to 4 weeks that a college student is home. They typically don't work, and they have time. And it's a way for them to reconnect with their fellow Trevians and local friends. So they head over to Lifetime or what the other places that have been attractive magnets for them. And they come in en masse, they trash the heck out of places, It's like they've been away at college and forgot everything their families tried to teach them for 18 years. And it's not the same in summer.
Oh, okay.
In summer, they're home. They typically are working, attending summer school, are engaged in a variety of other things, and they work out on a more normal schedule. And it's not just this en masse thing. You don't see all of them at once. They're busy traveling, whatever. I don't have a problem with a somewhat reasonable, perhaps more reasonable than some of my fellow commissioners might think of, for that winter break. If kids want to come home and they're home for 2 or 3 months in the summer, they want to sign up for a month type thing, I don't really want to give away the farm on the daily use for college kids.
Steve, one comment, because I have a college daughter who's coming home in 10 days. What you're addressing is not so much money, it's hours of operation and usage, right? And what I'll say, having a 19-year-old, they don't rise before noon.
No, their morning workouts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
So if my daughter's going to go to the gym, and that's at F, it'll be somewhere between 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. That will clearly not disrupt the regulars who like me. If I would go, I'm going to go in the morning.
Yeah, go 2 to 5.
Or I'm going to go in the morning. That's pretty much it. I don't go in the afternoon. I don't go at night. I'm too tired. So we're probably okay on logistics, but I would look to Mike in terms of what that might look like.
Yeah, I think we're expecting our peak hours during the week to be kind of the morning rush, the 5 to 9, and then the evening rush, 5 to 9. So if you think, between 2 and 5, that's not what we pinned as a peak time.
That's when I always work out, so that's why I suffer through that.
And you probably go through that.
We would have a special student rate for those non-peak hours when the students are home for breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So have a non-peak hour student rate.
That's a nice idea.
I've done that for seniors too. To get a senior membership, you have to work out between 9 and 5, say.
Yeah. Seniors and the college students.
You put them together in the set class.
No, but they'll learn a lot from the seniors.
True.
Those
okay.
are valuable exposures.
So what I'm hearing is that it's a pretty much unanimous, everybody wants a 50% difference between resident and non-resident fees. Look at the student and senior daily fees, and we'll look at that to see. We'll have to work with our budgets, because we definitely want to then do a break-even budget. So we have to, based on the hours of supervision and things, and knowing they're in winter break, when we do have a lot more college students, we put staff in the room, or maybe during the day we wouldn't have any staff. During winter break, we would have staff in there. So we'll look at our winter break fees, adjust them slightly to make it more appealing, but yet not give away the farm. So everybody comes and we'll make non-resident fees there.
Well, especially
and then,
if you're doing these college students resident fees.
Yeah.
So we don't get them and all of their friends.
All of them from the tour. So we'll make sure.
As a pack.
We'll make sure that non-resident fee is in. Yeah, spring break's like a week, right?
Yep.
And then we'll make sure resident is cheaper than neighbors in non-resident. So they're the non-resident rates. So if we look at Highland Park or Winnetka, we'll make sure our resident rates are cheaper than their non-resident rates.
Lisa, well, the other spin on the college, if you want,
other way around.
It's too much work. But kind of like hockey, you can even do a college punch card. 10, 15, 20.
Mm-hmm. It's harder to navigate those, but we can check into that. It's actually easier to do the monthly or the weekly, a week pass, and they get a week pass and they can put it on their card.
Could you just repeat that last thing?
Sure. So,
the last final thing is that you want residents.
We want to make sure our residents.
Yeah.
What is it, Carol?
Our non resident rate should be more expensive
than their residents.
Resident rates of others.
And that's what that reverse it, yeah.
Yes.
So, our non resident will be higher than their.
Resident
rates.
Yes.
I think it would be nice for us over time. As Seth said, we want to do what we can to get our residents in the building and using the variety of things in the building. This certainly doesn't have to happen coming out of the gate, but I think it would be nice for us as we detect our usage flow and with all the systems we have in place to detect if we have the same people coming into the fitness area before or after a class, whether it's with a subcontractor or one of our staff. I think at some point it would be nice to offer that additional program annual fee to include unlimited classes, and you can define it by either our staff taught classes or whatever, but it's nice for some people to have an all-in-one.
Yeah, it
maybe
is.
They don't mind paying that extra money and having the convenience of just paying one thing.
Exactly, I agree.
We've talked about, you could wrap together the beach, box, and a fitness center in one deal.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon Janville.
Yeah, and you could do that day one, or you could kind of...
That's really hard to do.
Bundling things is something that you don't, I don't think you have to do it day one, but that's an option.
That's something to look at down the line to see if you can work it out.
From a marketing perspective, I always like free samples. So maybe you, with a membership, you get one free class for some fitness area, mm-hmm. and you encourage them to kind of take the class, and maybe from there they'll sign up and pay.
Right. You know, yeah, we'll unroll a marketing plan.
That we can do.
Yeah.
And I've also seen where when you join the club, you get one or two guest passes to try to bring others, and you can limit the guest passes to residents or whatever your membership status is. If you're a resident member, you get a resident guest pass to try to bring friends in.
Actually, Paul and I discussed doing some sort of like a buddy plan, encourage people to work out together. So
we have a phenomenal entry area that nice high ceilings, and you know, as we start to get a steady stream of people coming in through that door and using it. Fitness area, I can almost guarantee that people are going to want to hang around afterwards and have coffee or muffins or whatever. So as we start to get experience with the flow and the folks that walk through there, you know, again, not right now, but as you kind of work into it, think about how that entryway can be kind of a gathering place after somebody's workout. Because I think that could be as popular as one of our coffee shops or something like that, particularly as people now, as the activists of the same people are going to the coffee shops to go over there and then afterwards meet for a muffin and coffee and take it. And that's kind of what we're looking for when this community center was built, is to have a place where people feel like this is the home, they come here and hang for a while. So that's something, again, don't have to do it day one, but I'm sure I'm not the only person that's going to say it. You're going to hear that from a lot of other people.
They established a really nice tiny cafe in the corner at the J. About 3.5-4 months in after their grand opening, they contracted with Once Upon a Bagel, and they gave them an area about as big as our double doors at either end, and then a little bit of a corner, and a staff person changes the coffee there, the thermoses, the large thermoses.
From Once Upon a Bagel does?
Once in the morning, a staff person refills it. But Once Upon a Bagel staffs it with pastries, with bagels, with fresh fruit, and healthy snack items once a day. So the family's coming through for all the classes there, because there's a lot of kid classes there, like there are at many community centers. And it's they just go to the front desk and pay them for them.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely, and that would be so cool.
Okay.
It's
a good idea.
It's enhanced people's ability to get a fresh coffee and hang out while distracting their kids with fruit and stuff so they can keep talking.
And it allows people to work out to completely put back the calories on when you took off.
Yeah, exactly. That's good. That's good feedback. Thank you.
So where do we go from here?
Well, that gives us, because we have to start working on our, believe it or not, our fall brochure soon, so this gives us some direction on pricing and fees. Our hours of operation, Mike?
Yes, they are on page, if you look at page, here at the top of the page 9 of the packet, 8 of the packet, and it'll be Monday through Friday, open from 5:30 to 9 p.m., and on weekends 7 to 5. And again, we're basing that off of most of the other fitness centers in the area have similar, if not identical, hours.
And you're not taking roll at 5:30 in the morning in case Andre and I are late.
We might. 5:40.
So that's our plan for recruitment. So from this point on, then we are going to move ahead in developing a marketing plan for this facility, obviously, to build it out.
Question for you, how does that affect our staffing in this building? Do we have somebody here that early? No.
It's a good question. We will have to, in the budget, there is money allotted for a fitness attendant start at 5:30 because we do not have someone in. So we will be adding staff in the morning and at the night to facilitate the fitness area, but not during the afternoon. The current front counter staff.
Yeah, we'll have, I guess, kind of three different types of staff members. The front desk staff that's there Monday through Friday, the kind of 9 to 5 staff, will kind of assist, assuming that's a lower period. We'll kind of take the responsibility for that area with Paul, who will usually be here during that time. And then those peak hours we identified, 5 to 9, both in the morning and at night, we'll have an attendant who specifically is in there wiping down equipment, interacting with customers, showing them how to do exercises. And then on weekends, we have facility attendants. So it'll kind of, Paul will make that schedule based on usage. If there's a huge party that the facility attendant's gonna be out of commission for, we'll bring in a fitness attendant. If it's a slower day, the facility attendant might be able to handle both.
And then when we first open, the fitness attendants will be more on hand to teach, do orientation, equipment and orientation,
tours,
and stuff
yeah.
like that, so.
I know there was a discussion at the last meeting where I was not at about the name of the fitness center. I think that we can use that room as a naming opportunity. There may be somebody who wants to donate some money to be able to have that fitness area named. I know today it's named the Aiken Fitness mm-hmm. Area. There's other rooms that could
oh, it's be. Oh, it's named the Aiken Fitness
activity
area.
Aiken Activity
I mean,
Room.
Aiken Activity Room.
Right.
So the fitness center is not named anything, but that's what the area is right now.
Yeah.
If we take the name off that room, we would have to move that room because obviously passports felt important enough to name a room
right.
after Mr. Aiken. So we should either transfer that name to a different room, this room perhaps,
right.
or use it in the name of the fitness
but
area.
But it's not like a broken record, but I think because we have opportunities for naming, and just like the J has the name on everything, right?
Everything, every light switch has a black
door knob has a name. And so there may be a family, this would be a lot less expensive than the Lakefront Park, by the way, so somebody who has a smaller budget wants to name something after, they can name the fitness area after their family.
You know, I have another, that is a nice thing. I don't think we're probably going to give donation now for this. But always have to name things after donors.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, my idea that I posed at the special projects is simply call it the Glencoe Fitness Area. This belongs to the community. This is our opportunity to bring the community to this building. We haven't really done that. This is like our big chance to try to get people to recognize this building, that it's theirs, and bring them here. I do believe that the past director, that of course should go in another room. This, for instance, where I'm sure he presided over, or almost, I don't know when he left, but presided over things. I think it'd be a nice
he
place.
He loved this room.
He did. He loved this room.
He loved this room. Oh, now I'm really feeling it. Okay. So this could really be it. And sort of acknowledge the contribution of the community to that fitness area and say this belongs to all of you and we want all of you to come.
I agree.
That's just
here, here.
And
one question on the hours of operation. I'm
please.
I'm on page 17
okay.
of the presentation and they look great. The one question is on Saturday. It's open from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Correct.
And I looked at all the others, the earliest they close is 6
right.
on Saturday. Could we keep it to open till 6 on Saturday, or is that a hardship?
Well, we're going to suggest 5 o'clock just to test out the water. If we have a lot of people demand till 6, but be honest, this community, there's no one around after 5.
Okay.
And I've done other ones on Saturday and Sunday. We close at 5, and that's been perfect. So I don't know why they're open 6. I wonder how many people they have. But if we have big need, that's something we could always add.
Okay.
It's hard to take away,
yeah.
really hard to take away anything. But if we find a big demand for that last hour, then we can definitely add it.
What you might see back to our college, it might be even actually just on the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the kind of people who will show up at 4 o'clock or
mm-hmm.
want to go to the gym before they go out later.
Right.
Yeah, but some of that, if mm-hmm. you can be able to track it with the cars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's good input.
Mm-hmm.
Good. That's it. Thank you for the input. So we're moving right ahead and we're going right along with that. So we don't need to really take any action. You gave it to us, so we just have to adjourn.
Okay. There's no action for us to take tonight. Thank you for giving staff the direction
Appreciate it.
The ideas that we brought out tonight. I don't believe there's any further matters from the public at this point in time.
I wanted to just see that glide plane as to how we're implementing this program.
Like, what, in implementing, what do you mean?
Sequence and timing.
So we will start construction in August, and then we will, the plan is to open in October, a soft opening in October, which is pretty much we throw it out to the community and say, hey, come and look at it. We come in for free, work out for free for the first 2 weekends, check it out. And then we will sell actively memberships, knowing that probably the biggest time we'll get a lot of memberships is in January or right out. We'll do a special at that point. So we'll have a couple months of like soft, we call it opening, to really get people liking it, to get them in. They'll do their marketing plans, opening promotions, and then be running at full steam in January.
And how does this dovetail with our plans for parking?
We hope to be done with parking by then, too. If the board stays on track with what we're on right now, we hope to do construction this fall and be done with the parking lots prior to opening the fitness area.
Good.
Makes sense? Yeah, because we really needed that part. We already have the, as I reported before, the village has given us 25 spots down Old Grand. We'll start using those spots in the summer, beginning of summer. It's kind of too late right now. So we'll start in the summer, and then we'll keep on progressing with that into the next year. And we have to renew those annually or biannually to see how it's going, to see if there's a need from the village. But, you know, we're very confident that it'll work.
Okay.
Well, I look forward to being one of your first members.
Good.
All you have to say is, are you burning calories today? That's the question.
Okay.
I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none? Thank you very much.
Thank you.